City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 370. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And we're going to do a little bit of a Tony Award recap, as it's the high holidays for the gays.
The Antonys.
How do you think that Sean Hayes did as a host?
I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought so too.
They
surprised
didn't,
me.
You know, they used him very, very sparingly, which I think was good. Uh-huh. I think had he been overused, it might have been a very different kind of night. But he got in, he did his quips, he did his little funny bits, and
I thought it was really
impressive.
I mean, he opened the show with a bang, not doing a song and dance number, but playing piano, which I had no idea he was such a pianist.
Yeah, he played really well.
It was really, really great. Got the controversy nipped in the bud right at the top by the big deep throat kiss with Kristen Chenoweth.
It was great. I mean, as I said to you prior to it starting, they've got to mention it.
Yeah.
They've got to do something about it and do something quickly. And they did it without doing anything, really.
So for people who don't know what that is, there was an article written, I believe it was in Newsweek, that basically said that there are gay actors who should not be playing straight roles, and they can't do them convincingly. And they pointed him out. And so he really... you know, he really kind of took that head on. It's really aroused a lot of controversy because the person who wrote the article was a gay man. And it's obviously homophobic.
Aroused might not be the best verb to use for that sentence.
There you go. But probably did. But it is, you were kind of saying that somebody had said that the Tony Awards are by gay men for, or Broadway is by, for, and about gay men or something. What was it you were saying?
It's such a gay medium. It's just the gayest medium we have.
I mean, let me say that there were like 3 out of 4 people were gays.
And 1 Buddhist monk.
And 1 Buddhist monk. I mean, seriously, we had Sean Hayes as the MC. Ricky Martin came out and immediately did a intro. He's going to be playing Che Guevara in Evita soon. You know, then you have David Hyde Pierce, who was honored with a special award. Lakeisha Fole, of course, is just gay. Bill T. Jones, who won as choreographer.
I love.
Who
I
you
love.
Bill and his
T.
little
Jones.
Monk husband. Or
yes, like he had a little begging bowl with him or something. Who is that man?
I don't
Bjorn
know.
Somebody, but...
Bjorn.
Maybe he's not a Buddhist monk. Maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he's just very spare in his clothing or in his apparel choices.
But it seemed that John Logan, I don't know if I'm right, but it seemed that John Logan, who wrote Red, also...
thanked his partner. The director thanked his partner.
Uh-huh. And
it's filled with gay men.
It's just filled with...
The theater is filled with gay men.
It's filled with gay men. And then beautiful men that gay men want to look at, like Matthew Morrison singing All I Need Is the Girl, which they don't know if he means girl or girl. But, you know, it's just the gayest show on earth is the Tony Awards. And I have to say, I am giddy, giddy, giddy with glee, not at the glee number, because Lea Michele was fantastic at that, by the way. I mean, I really think she will one day win a Tony Award. I don't think she won for Spring Awakening, but I'm pretty sure she did not. But she will win one day. She is about to, she's already got a big career on television, but I think she will eventually have a very big recording career and a very big television career. But I was so proud of Levi Christ, who is a friend of the podcast, and just, you know, I feel like there's such an affinity with Million Dollar Quartet because it's been here in Chicago and it's still playing here in Chicago, and Levi's just been such a great openly gay performer and spiritual guy and Tennessean, and I just adore him. And I know our editor Di for the Queercast loves her some Levi Christ and has bought his CD for all her sisters, and there's a lot of them.
Oh, that's sweet.
So really, really, really just really excited for him. And then you know, Memphis, the big hit of the night, I guess. Memphis and Lacage going home with the most awards. What did you have a most moving moment of the night for you? Most memorable? Why are you laughing?
All I can think about now is sweaty, sweaty, old-looking weirdo. What's her name? Catherine Zeta-Jones. I will never look at her the same again. After
I always say that Catherine Zeta-Jones is so hot if she just doesn't speak.
Yeah, somehow Paula Pound says this. Why can't we just have a picture of her up in the top-hand corner of our TV?
That.
She does.
Like, she said that about Catherine Zeta-Jones?
No, she said that about Daryl Hannah in Steel Magnolias.
Oh, yeah, I
agree. Like, it's the walking and talking that gets her into trouble.
Yeah, I just like Catherine Zeta-Jones when she's just being sexy and
silent. What's wrong with her? She was sweaty, foppy, husky, weird mess.
Well, she's doing 8 shows a week. It's hard on a girl who's used to smoking a cigarette on the Italian coast or something with her aging movie star husband. I mean, it's kind of...
Oh, that just made me feel funny inside. It just made me feel way too funny inside and not in a good way.
Although I hear she's really good in the show. I don't think the performance tonight really showed that.
Really?
I understand you're saying
she
that,
looked
honey.
Like a fucking crazy lady when she was doing that solo.
Well, Desiree is not the sanest of characters, but it's, I don't know. I heard that she's, you know, really good in the show. So I guess obviously she was awarded tonight. I mean, there were a lot of starlets on the stage with Scarlett Johansson winning, Denzel Washington winning, Catherine Zeta-Jones. It was like, let's give all the awards to Hollywood. I mean, really, the only awards that didn't go to Hollywood were Kelsey Grammer didn't win. His co-star won. And that's really the glitzy, emotional role in the show. So that makes sense. And he was a newcomer. And Levi, of course, is a newcomer. Viola Davis, not a newcomer, but I think of her as... She's good stock in trade, you know. She's real good, hearty Broadway theater stuff. Kind of like Cherry Jones, you know. She does stuff in other genres, but she's really of the boards kind of actress. But I have to say, the most memorable moment of the night is my Helen Mirren. Oh my God, how beautiful did she look? I mean, you just let me go have a tryst with her, wouldn't you?
Without question. I would pay for you to have a tryst with her.
Oh, God, would you? Would you take some savings and...
You can go do it right this second.
Or how much do we draw on your bank card?
My measly little bank
sum? How much can you...
I'll give you $5. You could, like, touch her underarm, I think, for $5.
How much credit can you...
Could be pulled out a hair on her chin for $5. You know she's got them.
No, she doesn't, because I've seen her up close, and she's that gorgeous up close.
What about what's-her-name in the zoot suit? What happened to her?
I thought Kate Blanchett looked pretty foxy.
She did at first. It was just weird. It was weird and somewhat funny and somewhat clever and then bad and weird. And why do they have to give them all to Hollywood? People have been trudging for years, decades of hard work in the American theater, and they just give it to some... Hollywood person who walks on and does 8 shows a week for a couple of months.
Well, the featured...
Doesn't seem fair.
The featured actress and the featured actor in a musical were both have Chicago connections, and both, Gabe, I thought, you know, they are people who have worked a really, really long time to have a career in theater. You know, I mean, to her defense, Catherine Zeta-Jones started out in 42nd Street. You know, she was an 18, 19-year-old star of 42nd Street, I believe, on the West End. She was a singer, dancer, actress. Obviously, her role in Chicago has kind of revived movie musicals, and I think that's a good thing. And this is her first time on Broadway, so...
She seemed cuckoo puffs.
She seemed a little high.
She seemed like, we don't like know. Whitney Houston. Just flop sweating, like doing the lines of white stuff.
And you know what really seems promising is that there are some...
Sorry, fans of Catherine.
Oh, I like Catherine. Don't get me wrong. But I am... And I think she's extremely talented. I just sometimes don't like her to talk. Just be pretty.
Just a picture up in the upper right-hand corner.
No, she's not Daryl Hannah in Steel Magnolias. She's far more capable. But anyhow, it was a really good night. I'm really compelled to see Red. You and I did not get to see that when we were in New York. And
we should have.
It looks really, really extraordinary. And
no, I was really pleased for them. It seems like the only thing that I really wanted to see.
And Memphis with the Bon Jovi drummer, like, having his moment.
It's actually
in the sun.
Keyboardist.
Oh, the keyboardist. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of all the drums with American Idiot. I mean, we really thought that American Idiot, the hype was that American Idiot was going to be this thing that was going to take, you know, Broadway by storm. And I think it is selling out theaters.
Yeah, it has.
Does it speak to that Tony voting crowd? Now, Spring Awakening really did. So what's the difference in a Spring Awakening versus an American Idiot? But and then for a while, Fella had all of the energy behind it. I felt like it was going to, with the kind of clout of Jada and Will Smith and Beyonce and Jay-Z. But now, you know, Memphis, the show that I think was a little bit of a little engine that could, winning tonight. So, I don't know. We'll see next year. But it seems like Broadway's actually got a lot of good shows going right now that are bringing people into the theater, which is a good thing since I hear that nobody's going to the movies this summer. So maybe it is a great time for a big... Renaissance in, because there's just not been, everything that's been popular on Broadway has been a revival of a Disney movie. I mean, it's been a Disney movie or a revival of something very, very old. And we didn't have as much of that, you know, this season.
You think it seems exciting what we saw tonight?
I think
I'm glad that people are going. I don't feel excited by the stuff that I saw.
I feel like there was a lot of diverse plays really represented, you know, in the musical revival categories of both. I feel like the shows are really, really different. I think American Idiot speaks to a very different audience than Fella, that speaks to a very different audience than Memphis and Million Dollar Quartet, then speaks to a very different audience than La Cage aux Folles, and once again, A Little Night Music. I mean,
those are all musicals, so I don't...
I understand,
don't,
but I'm just saying...
That's what you're talking about. I'm talking about just the
well,
other,
and I
the
think
plays.
The plays, I think Sarah Rule's play, very different than Red, very different than... I haven't seen the Donald Margulies play, or Margolis play, but I know the way he normally writes with sight unseen in some of his other plays. You know, it seems like Fences, of course, having a... Arthur Miller. I mean, it seems like there have been, it's been a strong season for Broadway. And, you know, I haven't seen enough in New York this year to really know something was missing. I did not think the Addams Family deserved any accolades. And
they didn't get
and
any.
They made it, I mean, I thought it was clever and to have Nathan Lane and B.B. Newirth, both of whom I love individually, but just didn't work for me in that show. And so, yeah, I actually do. I actually think it's a very strong and diverse season that was represented here. And, you know, and I think it's good that we're getting a diversity of sound and color and, you know.
No, I agree with you there.
Everything on Broadway right now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so an exciting night. A better than usual, I thought, Tony presentation. I thought Sean Hayes' writers were very, very funny. And, of course, really just the loss of some great women of the American theater with and great women of American, I don't know, television and the arts in general. Lynn Redgrave, mm-hmm. Rue McClanahan, of course, in the past week, Dixie Carter and Lena Horne. All the In Memoriam, primarily of huge note, mainstream note, were those women.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, it's done in another season, and hopefully it always, after the Tonys, you hope people get excited about those shows and go out and start seeing them. So, and some interesting things on the horizon. I think it'll be very cool to see Antonio Banderas do Zorba the Greek. I have heard that Deanna Dunnigan, who won the Tony for August Osage County, was workshopping that, so perhaps she'll be in that revival. Who knows? You heard the scoop here, though, if she is. And I predicted Levi Kreis would win the Tony Award before he was even nominated. I said he will go to Broadway because they were going to go to London or to Broadway, and I said if he goes to Broadway, he will win a Tony Award. And I said it. I said it to his manager. I said it to Levi.
And you should have placed a bet.
I should have placed a bet. Hey, I don't know what if I placed a bet whether or not many of you who listen to podcasts watch web series. But if you are not watching web series, right now there are a lot of shows that are very compelling, telling stories that we're not seeing on television. And one of those is called Anyone But Me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to have the writer and producer Tina Seza Ward on the Queercast today to talk about this series that you can watch for free on the web. There's two seasons of the show on their website, and we're just going to kind of talk about the world of webisodes, web series, and why this one in particular is telling stories of coming of age, coming out, high school, sexuality, race. So many unique stories, and really kind of educate you on a whole new world of where stories are being told now in a way that are accessible to everyone, and really starting to access different specific targeted audiences, and this one is for us. So it's very exciting to have her on the show. First time I've ever had an interview with someone about a web series, so that seems kind of surprising since we're in a new media of doing podcasting, but it is true.
Yeah, but they're taking over. And this one, I hope people really give it a particular listen. My friend Barbara Pitts is in it.
Yes, she plays Aunt Jody.
She plays Aunt Jody, and Susan Miller is also one of the producers, directors, uh-huh. writers. Really wonderful people connected with this project, and you know, for all the episodes that I've seen... it's just a really fantastic ideas, really fantastic writing, and really fantastic performances. So yeah. I really hope people tune in, and really their viewership has just exponentially increased.
Yeah, they're like up to 4 million.
Year. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
One of their newest viewers is our editor, Di. So she was so excited when she saw that we were going to be featuring that show on this week's show.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about all the young high school kids.
Yeah, it's like the My So-Called Life, but for us.
Yeah.
Which is really, really
cool. But if you were
cool.
like in a small town mm-hmm. and didn't have any access to gay anything,
mm-hmm. and
how
now
wonderful
we do.
Would this be? Yeah, we totally do. It's life-saving.
And also, there's so much news. I don't know what's going on. It's obviously Gay Pride Month. We're in it. We're in it deep. But there is so much news going on. Do need to say one news story, not on in the news, but that did happen this weekend. The Chicago Force ended their season in Dallas against the Dallas Diamonds. I actually happened to be in Dallas.
Why were you in Dallas?
I was in Dallas to audition for Oprah.
Awful!
Oprah in Dallas!
Hippopotamus!
But
I'm not calling her a hippopotamus.
I know you're not calling her a hippopotamus.
I hope no one thinks
people
that.
Don't understand that reference, but we do in our household. So anyhow, it went well, and we'll see. Obviously, I've got my video in, and I appreciate that all of you are voting.
Vote it up, peeps.
At tinyurl.com/AmyOprah. Watch my video if you have not, but went down there to also do the open casting call. Just to go face to face. But Saturday night, I had nothing to do, and Linda Bechet of the Chicago Force had sent me an email saying, you know, if we win, you know, we want you to promote it, and if we don't, then forget about it. But I said, I'm going to be in Dallas. So I drove closer to Fort Worth on Saturday night, and got to stand sidelines and cheer them on, and really a great effort this season. And I kind of feel like they were robbed. There were some really, really bad calls, and it was a game they should have won. But anyhow, it was a great season, and it was just thrilling to be in Dallas and able to support the Chicago Ladies.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
The season has ended, and next season they will, I'm sure, be playing strong again. Also, I should just say that the Windy City Gay Idol is coming up this weekend, and you must come to Sidetrack, because so many of our Windy City QueerCast family will be there. Well, not only will I be there, and Cynthia from By the Way, but also our editor Di is coming into town first time for the event. In from Indiana, and Kirk Williamson, who reports the news with me, will be one of our judges, along with Claire Simon of Claire Simon Casting, a mm-hmm. very big casting agent here in Chicago, as well as, that's right, folks, Miss Cleo will be with us.
Miss Cleo!
Also making her first trip to Chicago since we've been friends, and I've never met Cleo face-to-face, and I'm so excited, as is she, and she's coming in for a huge amount of events. She'll be doing stuff with the Powwow Gals, an open mic night with them the Tuesday following Gay Idol. So Gay Idol this Saturday from 1 o'clock the doors open, 3 o'clock we start, we go to about 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. We have such great singers this year. I can't tell who's going to win. Sometimes I know it's going to be like this person or that person. I just feel it. And this year it is a really strong playing field of a lot of people that are really have their guns a-blazing and really want this thing, and it's going to be a great, great show. Plus, we're going to have tons of the former idols, Dan and Carrie and Amy and Corey, all already lined up to sing. Luis, our original, very first idol. Plus, we are going to have the Stage Door Johnnies, and what that is three of the sexiest men you've ever seen taking some clothes off who can really dance. So that's just a little aperitif.
Teaser.
It's a little amuse-bouche while all the singing's going on. A little teaser, a little palate cleanser. The boys getting naked since everybody else is going to be singing. So it's going to be a great, great, great show, and I can't wait. So come, because you can win some fabulous prizes, win tickets to Blondie, win a pair of tickets on American Airlines, anywhere you want to go in the U.S., Bahamas, Bermuda, Canada, the Caribbean, and many, many more prizes. So just come on out. To Sidetrack this Saturday. I can't wait to see you there. So we're going to tell you what's going on in the news and what's going on in the theater scene. We'll be back with Tina, Says Award, and Anyone But Me.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The U.S. Department of Justice has issued a legal opinion stating that federal laws should protect gay domestic violence victims. The opinion relates to the Violence Against Women Act and states that the 1994 statute should cover victims of same-sex domestic violence.
The U.S. State Department has made travel easier for transgender people by removing a requirement that applicants must have gender reassignment surgery before they can have their gender changed on their passports. A trans passport applicant only needs to present proof from an attending medical physician that the applicant has undergone appropriate clinical treatment for gender transition.
The IRS has ordered that gay and lesbian couples must be treated the same as their heterosexual counterparts, according to a California tax law feature. The IRS said that almost 58,000 couples registered as domestic partners in that state, and they must combine their income and each report half of said income on separate tax forms. The development allows a tax benefit same-sex couples did not previously have.
U.S. Representative Ike Skelton, the chairman of the House Armed Service Committee, has said that he is against lifting Don't Ask, Don't Tell because he does not want to start a national discussion about homosexuality. The Missouri Democrat said that repealing the anti-gay policy might make families explain homosexuality to their children.
In Utah, Republican U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch told a crowd at Dixie State College that the gay community has replaced religion with politics. Hatch said gays and lesbians don't pay tithing. Their religion is politics. The HRC's Religion and Faith Program Director, Harry Knox, criticized Hatch, saying there is no denying that there are millions of LGBT Americans who every day give their time, talent, and money to local churches, synagogues, and temples all over the country. LGBT religious leaders are working to provide a loving alternative to the hopeless hatred people like Senator Hatch calls sound doctrine.
The Williams Institute for Sexual Orientation Law and Public Policy at the UCLA School of Law has published a report estimating that lifting the blood donation ban against men who have sex with men could add almost 220,000 pints each year to the U.S. blood supply. The American Red Cross and the American Association of Blood Banks feel that the current FDA ban is unnecessary. The Department of Health and Human Services is holding hearings on the ban.
In New York City, Brooklyn resident Lewis Newman allegedly threatened two men with a knife and made anti-gay slurs as they were walking down Utica Avenue in Weeksville. Newman is also charged with a criminal possession of a weapon.
In Massachusetts, gay Catholics are angry that a column in The Pilot, the newspaper of the Boston Catholic Archdiocese, said children of gay and lesbian couples should not be in parochial schools. The article stated that a child of a gay male couple would bring to school sometimes obscene or pornographic or refer to such things in conversation as they go along with the same-sex lifestyle. Pilot editor Antonio Enrique issued an apology for the article.
In California, the Bay Area has its first transgender rabbi. Berkeley Congregation's Beth L. has hired Reuben Zellman as its new assistant rabbi and music director. Zellman will join openly gay Rabbi Yoel Kahn at the congregation.
In Minnesota, Edina has become the first suburb in the state to approve a domestic partner registry. Edina's city council unanimously backed the largely symbolic policy, which allows committed same and opposite sex couples who live together to pay $25 to register a domestic partnership. Minneapolis approved such registries in 1991. Duluth and St. Paul followed suit last year.
The AIDS Coalition of Southern New Jersey will close this summer after 22 years, citing a lack of government funding. The agency, which offers everything from a food bank to tuition assistance for HIV-positive individuals and their family, has seen its federal, state, and city funds drop 40% over the past few years.
In world news, Joran van der Sloot, the Dutchman suspected in the 2005 killing of American Natalie Holloway, has confessed to murdering Stephanie Flores in Peru. Flores was reportedly a lesbian. Van der Sloot, 22, was arrested June 3rd in Chile and returned to Peru for questioning. He confessed to slaying Flores, who was 21, after they returned to a hotel room together. Authorities speculate that she may have been killed after rejecting van der Sloot's sexual advances.
In Poland, people are protesting an exhibit at the National Museum in Warsaw that features nudes and depictions of gay couples. The museum's director said that the exhibition aims to provoke discussion about gays. The exhibition, Ars Homo Erotica, is scheduled to run through September 5th.
In Portugal, Teresa Pires and Heleno Paixão became the first same-sex couple to marry in the country. The couple, both divorced mothers in their 30s, wed a month after Portugal's marriage equality law went into effect.
In Spain, organizers of Madrid's Pride Parade are disinviting Israeli representatives, fearing anger from local pro-Palestinian organizations. The Israeli delegation was slated to have a bus in the parade. However, the combination of anti-Israel protests and lack of security prompted parade organizers to take action.
In entertainment news, actor Zachary Quinto, star of Star Trek, as well as the TV series Heroes, will portray Louis Ironson in the off-Broadway revival of Tony Kushner's Angels in America. The two-part play, set in the 1980s, focuses on the AIDS crisis and will co-star Billy Porter as nurse-slash-ex-drag queen Belize. Angels runs in repertory at the Signature Theater Company September 14th through December 19th.
Cheyenne Jackson, Kylie Minogue, and Cyndi Lauper were among those who attended the AMFAR Inspiration Gala, honoring fashion designer Jean-Paul Gaultier and now out singer Ricky Martin. Martin spoke about an HIV-positive Cambodian girl he met in 2008 while campaigning against human trafficking. In his speech, Gaultier said that the condom was the best outfit from the last century.
And speaking of Ricky Martin, Angelo Garcia, who was in the boy band Menudo with Martin, has also come out of the closet. Garcia said Martin, the oldest band member, was the only one to get his own room. I didn't know if it was because the manager already knew of his sexuality or because he had seniority. I thought he was asexual. Garcia continues to perform and has a nude pictorial coming up in a gay magazine.
Conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh paid Sir Elton John $1 million to perform at his June 5th wedding. Guests included Bush advisor Karl Rove and ex-New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. It was the fourth wedding for Limbaugh, an outspoken opponent of same-sex marriage.
Legendary actress and gay icon Judy Garland has been immortalized as a wax figure in Madame Tussauds in Hollywood. Garland, who died less than a week before the Stonewall riots, would have been 88 years old on June 10th.
Oprah Winfrey is developing shows for gay reality show veterans Kat Cora and Carson Kreisley on her own network. In her show, Cora will visit families who desperately need to alter the way they live. Kreisley will helm a makeover show for the network. OWN launches January 1st, 2011 in approximately 80 million homes.
And novelist E.M. Forster stopped writing for a period because having sex with another man subdued his creativity. Dickinson College professor Wendy Moffat said that Forster, who wrote Howard's End and A Room with a View, first experienced gay sex at age 38, and he felt he could no longer write about middle-class heterosexuals. Morris was the only one of Forster's works to deal directly with homosexuality. Forster died in 1970 at age 91. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
And today, folks, we're playing the listener participation game. You can win a mention on the show. You just need to leave one. 312-21-BE-GAY.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks with sessions beginning June 5th. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable even in today's economic climate. Enrollment costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 14th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theaters, A Streetcar Named Desire, directed by the nationally acclaimed David Cromer, is the not-to-be-missed show of the summer. The Wall Street Journal proclaims, no matter where you live or what you're doing this summer, go to Chicago and see Writers Theater's Streetcar. And Time Out Chicago gave it the rare 5 stars. Order your tickets today at writerstheater.org. Tickets are selling out.
For three nights only, Carpathia Jenkins and Louis Rosen in concert, The Ache of Possibility. Hot, cool, irresistible, music that stirs the soul, says the Washington Post. Together, Carpathia Jenkins and Louis Rosen are breaking new ground in a concert mix of smart, sexy, pitch-perfect-to-the-moment songs from their three recent albums. For tickets, visit tick.northwestern.edu, running June 25th through the 27th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
This is Amy Kelly, the Windy City 2009 Gay Idol, and you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast.
You know, the difference between you and me? Everything. Do you know the reason why I left? I was bored. I'm sorry, it just takes a little more to hold my attention. Let's go back to the beginning. Girl meets boy and everything is looking sweet. Time goes by and my eyes wander free. It's all my fault, I'm the one to blame. Shame on me and my man eating game. I can truly say that it's not you, it's me. You can't cage a bird when they're made to be free. I'm looking all around me. Breaking hearts don't make me happy. I won't give you excuses. Can't change my colors, it's just useless.
Anyone But Me has taken the web by storm. It is one of the most viewed scripted series on the web, with over 4 million views, and its audience is growing every day. Anyone But Me focuses on the story of a young high school girl who just happens to be gay, and her struggle with moving from the city to the suburbs, young lesbian love, and friendships. Tina Sezza Ward is the filmmaker behind the series that is racking up awards, and I'm thrilled to have Tina on the show with me today. Hey, Tina, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So you've been up partying with all the interwebs folks. New York yes. City's having the big Internet Week. What is that like?
Well, it's fun. I mean, it's not the Internet Week. It means everything. Everything on the Internet. So it's, it goes from technology to everything, and there's not as much scripted conferences and stuff going on, but we're getting there. But we had a great party with Blip TV last night, who basically, you know, puts our show on, distributes our show, and we carry them and whatever. So they're an amazing, amazing outfit that is incredibly supportive of content creators and scripted, you know, scripted web series, as well as the very few scripted dramas that there are out there, which is us. So it was a great party. We had a great time. It's their fifth birthday. They're as old as YouTube, as strange as that seems, because YouTube feels like it's been around forever. And and Eric over at Blip put it perfectly, that they're like a utility to us now. It's
interesting.
Like, you think that YouTube's been around forever, but it's amazing they've only been around for 5 years, as well as Blip. So,
you all, really, the family of Anyone But Me, are really pioneering new frontier and doing it in a way that has such professionalism and such depth, which is why you're getting so many viewers. Was the original intention to do you know, a web series? And was that because you wanted to explore content that you thought would be hard to get on television, or you would have more freedom? What was the inspiration behind the medium?
Well, I definitely wanted to go. It was definitely written, created, and developed for the web. It was never created for the idea of getting it on television or anything. I mean, it's very specific. We, you know, our episodes are very contained, and they're, we try to leave them with some sort of cliffhanger, even if they're an emotional cliffhanger or, you know, something action. So it's, we always wanted just to be on the web. I wanted to explore the new medium. It was probably back in 2007. It kind of came to me. A friend said, "Hey, you should try this," and I was reluctant at first, but then said, "Oh, maybe." I thought about working in television and telling stories more episodic than. I come from a filmmaker background, so it was something that interests me, and I got Susan involved, and we really kind of just tried to learn as much as we could. There wasn't as much to learn back then, strangely, it's right. so evolved even in this short period of time. You know, there was Quarter Life, and we talked to Marshall Hershkovitz about it, and mm-hmm. he gave us some pointers, and you know, and just kind of went off and running, and just love being on the web. It's you do get an incredible creative freedom to, you know, you don't have anybody over your shoulder telling you, you know, and Susan knows this a lot more than I do. But
right.
She's like, you know, she knows what it's like to write for television and how everything is, you know, you're watched over and mm-hmm. things get changed. And some even person that knows nothing about story is telling right. you to change something. And so with the web, you know, you have that kind of creative freedom to do what you want and tell mm-hmm. the stories you want and however you want. I don't know how our show would do on regular television. I'm sure that there's certain parts of it would be, you know, toned down and perhaps going in different directions. And, you know, you just mm-hmm. never know. And that's the great thing about the web is that there's a lot of web shows now that are more geared to more niche markets and also more minorities. You know, there's yeah. a lot more, you know, obviously gay and lesbian shows out there. There's also a lot more African-American run mm-hmm. shows out there that you don't even get to see on television. So mm-hmm. so it's really opened it up to all of us, all the audience that gets pretty much ignored right. most of the time from television. So right. that's the wonderful thing about the web.
Well, and you mentioned Susan. Just to clarify, that's Susan Miller, who also you work with as a writer and producer on the series. Susan was a writer-producer on The L Word and most notably on 30-something, which is, I'm sure, yeah. your connection with Marshall. And she's yeah. also had a huge success in the theater with My Left Breast and
right.
Other amazing scripts and shows. How did you two connect, and was it really the connection of the two of you that made Anyone But Me happen?
Well, I had the series, and I had about 10 episodes written, and mm-hmm. I went looking for somebody to kind of help. You know, mm-hmm. I hadn't worked in anything episodic. I came from a filmmaker background, and I really thought, wow, I should really try to find somebody.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, went looking, and obviously went looking for somebody that wasn't shy about, obviously, lesbian themes or anything like that. And so I just went hunting down and found Susan, and strangely enough, she had her email just right there on the web. And, and so I contacted her, which was, you know, and then she got back to me right away, which was amazing. And she called, and at first, you know, I just said, listen, you know, I just need kind of a supervising producer, somebody mm-hmm. to just, you know, guide me and, mm-hmm. and help me out. And she's like, well, if I'm going to be involved in this, I really want to be involved in it a lot more than that. And I was like, well, you can do what you want. I just
yeah.
I didn't want to impose on your time. But so, you know, she kind of came aboard, and we did, you know, rewrites on everything that we had on the first season. And then from then on, we've just, you know, been pushing it forward. So
yeah.
it certainly is what it is because Susan and I came together, that's
yeah.
for sure.
So what was your inspiration for Vivian McMillan, for this central character?
I don't know. It's always hard to say where these characters come from. It's
Did just, she just start talking to
verbal.
You? You just started seeing her?
Yeah, I guess so. I started feeling her and I also wanted to kind of tell a story about teens and also teens growing up in New York here after 9/11 and, mm-hmm. and not really recognizing the changes in the city because mm-hmm. they were so young, so they mm-hmm. never knew what the city was prior. So, you know, that was kind of part of it. And I also wanted to, you know, talk about the, you know, the struggle of being lesbian and mm-hmm. gay or whatever. And it was, you know, and not necessarily about the story, the first coming out story, about the fact that at one point in your life you felt comfortable being out among your peers and had, you know, it was fine, mm-hmm. no stress. And then once you get uprooted and stuck into a different situation, then you have to do it all over again. And then you have to kind of come to terms on how comfortable you really are with
mm-hmm.
it. So that was kind of my things that I wanted to talk about.
And it's so interesting that you bring that up because, you know, people always say, you know, when do you come out? And I always say, when was the last new person I met? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously, we come yeah. out and come out and come out. And as yeah. a young person, you know, it is in high school and the dynamics, you know, of that, it's just such great fodder for drama.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've definitely had some great dramas. I mean, even the 30-something guys with My So-Called Life, you know.
Yeah, right.
Really set a precedent for that. But it really takes, and I guess we should just say that, I mean, I focused on it a little bit, but the story starts with her having to move away from the city because her father was a firefighter in 9/11.
Right.
And some problems with his health. And so she's already in a relationship and is trying to have this long distance relationship with
right.
her girlfriend, Aster. So so I guess when you're making a show like this and it's delicate and it's deep, real emotion and you want it to come off feeling authentic, really casting these young people is essential. So where did you find your two stars in Nicole and Rachel?
Well, I mean, we just got lucky. We put out a casting call for, just anybody to come and mm-hmm. shots and all that. And also I put out the word to people I know, too. So it was just like anybody you know that's a good actor that, you know, can play the part of a teen that, you know, looks close to the age, let's, you know, send mm-hmm. them our way. So we just went through casting like anybody else does. And
yeah.
And we just really kind of instantly got lucky. I mean, definitely when either one of them, you know, all of them actually that we cast walked through the door, we knew instantly that we wanted them. But there's always a question of, well, let's see further what they can do. And,
right.
And do callbacks, make them try this, try that, you know,
yeah.
to make sure. But, you know,
well, and you're also dealing with women that were going to have to be really physically comfortable. It's not
yeah.
just are they good actors and can they? I mean, hell, we saw at the L Word, there were people that weren't comfortable with being physical
yeah.
and there were some that were. So these are adult actors who've
yeah.
had a lot of experience, you know,
yeah,
playing different parts.
I wonder if they're younger, they're a little bit more. They don't have as many boundaries, I
yeah.
guess, perhaps.
They're less guarded.
You know, so they, you know, everybody was right out of school and
mm-hmm.
everybody was eager to get to work and,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, I certainly told every one of them and auditioned, this is what's going to be required of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to be comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we've never had any kind of issues, and Rachel and Nicole had like instant chemistry when we put them together,
right.
It was like, oh, well, there
yeah.
you go, that
yeah.
works out well for
yeah
us, so.
Exactly.
And you know, it couldn't be any less of an issue for any
yeah.
of them, so it's awesome.
Well, in season one, just based on how you set up the series, you know, there were inherent themes of being out of place and being new again and, you know, sustaining a relationship. What were the themes that you were really interested in exploring in season two and even looking ahead? Where do you think you're going?
Well, I think in season two, we definitely wanted to go further into the other characters as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, season one was definitely very much about whether Vivian and Aster could kind of survive this long-term,
right.
This long-distance relationship. And then in season two, we wanted to say, hey, they're working it out, but what are the other problems they're going to come into?
Yeah.
So we really wanted to explore Sophie a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of felt we laid the groundwork in season one, but we really wanted to get into who she was and her relationship with Vivian and all of that in season two. So, you know, we love doing that. And then with Aster, too, we wanted to explore Aster outside of Vivian. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why we brought in Liza Wild to play Dr. Glass. And, you know, she went through therapy to really learn about who Aster is. And
mm-hmm.
and there's a great arc with Aster's character all through the second season where she's really trying to, you know, work it out and figure it out, not fly off the handle, not get upset with Vivian, try to make all this work, try to understand Vivian, but then in the end, she does kind of,
yeah.
In the season finale, she just, it all goes to hell, basically.
Yeah.
But she's a kid, and that's
yeah.
part of her, and
yeah.
for her not to react that way, I mean, of course she's going to, and
right.
it's, So those are some big things we wanted to deal with that we got to, which was exciting. And it is about telling stories of, you know, all these other characters too, and mm-hmm. how they interact with Vivian. And I'm really glad that we got to do the scene with Vivian and Aunt Jody, where, you know, mm-hmm. Vivian finally tells her that she's gay, and that was great to play because Barbara Pitts is wonderful, and it was, we've been waiting to do that scene for so long, so yeah. It was so great to actually play that out, and so, you know, there's more we want to explore with her, with Aunt Jody, and with Gabe and Aunt Jody, and I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's so much to explore, and also, you know, other characters like Elizabeth, and we want to deal with the depression issue, which is pretty big in young people, and so we wanted to explore that in some way, so we're definitely going to do that further, too.
So
there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So do you feel that your audience is primarily female? Do you feel that your audience is primarily young? Or what is the audience, you know, that you're surprised that you're attracting?
Well, I mean, it is primarily female. And it's, you know, it's hard to gauge what the age range is because, you know, when you're online, there's no real...
Right.
You know, there's no way for us to really get it, you know, besides occasionally picking up on it. Maybe YouTube helps us a little bit. But, mm-hmm. You know, so the age range is all over the place as far as we can tell. And we certainly have gotten people, you know, 50-plus watching the show and also teenagers watching the show. So it's fantastic in that way that there's such a range. And I actually have seen more and more guys watching the show, mm-hmm. which has been great, you know. So we love that. And we love when the audience connects with all the different characters, too, you know. So that's been happening a lot more, and that's been fun to watch. So our audience has really grown, even past our niche, and we hope it continues to pull in more people from everywhere and all around the world. It's amazing, you know. The UK is really big for us. Germany is really big for us.
Yeah.
Even, like, Brazil, even, you know.
Well, they're hungry for these stories. They're hungry for these stories that don't get told. And, I mean, we in the States probably have far more GLBT and even people of color on all of our television options. So it's great, as you said, you know, you deal with race and all different kinds of people, you know, in addition to the sexual issues of sexuality. How can people watch if they're hearing this for the first time and said, I've never watched, you know, a series that's exclusively on the web? Is there a cost? How do they watch? How do they know when new episodes are coming up? Give people just kind of the basics if this is new frontier for them.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about the web is that you can watch shows anytime. So it's not like you have a set time for when they come on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're up at 2 a.m., you can watch it. If you wake up at 5 a.m., you know, it's always on for you to watch. And even when we launch episodes, those episodes will remain on our site, and you can watch all of them. Season 1 and Season 2 are all up on our site, and our site is anyonebutmeseries.com. And so you can go there, and you can, you know, watch all the episodes there. We're also on Hulu. So it's, you know, it's and our episodes probably range from 7 minutes to 12 minutes, about. So it's pretty simple. You just log on. There's so much great content on the web. You know, it's such a you know, great alternative to television. And not just not great stuff on television, but you get an opportunity to really watch so many different types of stories told so many different ways by so many different people. You know, that's the great thing. Not just, you know, a couple of people that control all the content.
It's exactly right. Well, we are enjoying the content that you and Susan and your amazing team at Anyone But Me are putting out into the internet world for us to all be able to access with that kind of ease. We will have the show linked in our show notes, the anyonebutmeseries.com website. But I encourage you to check it out. You know, take some time, and you'll very quickly get invested and enjoy watching this series and enjoy watching these stories. So support the community and support anyone but me, and start looking for other ways in which to watch other web series and serial series on the internet, because I'm surprised it's the first time I've ever done an interview on a podcast about a web series, but I am very excited to start it off with you, Tina.
Yes, well, thank you. We're happy you had us.
And when does season 3 go into production? Late this year?
Well, we're hoping that it starts production probably in the fall. We've launched each season in December, so we're hoping to stick to that schedule. You can't hold me to it, but that's our goal anyway. So,
well, we're going to hold you to it, so, because we're going to get interested in absorbing and digesting some more episodes and see what's in store for Vivian and her gang. So, Tina, thanks so much. And everyone, check out Anyone But Me.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Kelly, this is a big week. I mean, this is really the week where everything revs up for Gay Pride. And do you remember your first Gay Pride? Were you in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the first.
No, I certainly wasn't in Indiana.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could have been. You traveled a lot for theater. You
no,
could have
I
been
was
on
in New
super.
York, and I can't even. I'm trying to imagine how old I was. I was 24 or older.
Yeah.
I was with a whole crew of people. We were.
Were
doing,
you straight? Or out? You weren't. You weren't out the first time you watched a gay pride parade, were you?
I wasn't you out came, the first time I watched it.
Yeah. What did you think of it when you saw it?
Oh my God, the New York City Pride Parade was just like one of the craziest things you have ever seen in your life. If you come from, you know, the kind of towns that
small
we come
Hoosier
from,
town,
a small
yeah.
Hoosier town, radical, extremely moving, colorful. There was every type of character, nakedness, all kinds
did
of
you feel
titties.
Like,
and
did you feel like you belonged in it? Or did you feel scared of it? Or did you feel like
I had
did it crack you
exhilarated moments, and I had moments of fear. But, you know, as I evolved and going to them,
yeah.
I don't even know if cracked open is the right word, but I feel a part of it. I mean, yeah. I felt a part of it.
I've never seen one not being gay. I mean, like, when I lived in Memphis, I don't think we had parades, and that was where I came out, and I'd obviously never seen one in Cleveland. So when I came to Chicago, I was already living as a gay woman, so I just am curious, because I knew you when you moved to New York, you weren't
But
living.
I didn't stand and watch it like I did. I mean, I didn't stand with a group of
oh,
friends.
Oh, you didn't?
Like, no. I didn't make it a point to go down to it.
Because a lot of our straight friends go. More of our straight friends go than we go
yeah
anymore.
But if you think you're gay and you're not really out about it, you're not. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw them passing and mm-hmm. stuff like that, but
no. Yeah, interesting.
But I always had a ball watching them there.
Well, everybody gear up, because you know that's gonna be a big parade this year. And
who's the grand marshal?
Shelley Wright, the big grand marshal for the parade this year. Everybody have a great week. There are so many events lining up. We hope we see you at Gay Idol. Miss Cleo really wants to meet you. So does Di, and I would love to see you there as well. So. So many of us are going to be out in the Windy City family, and we hope that you'll be a part of it. It's just $10, and you're entered to win all the prizes, plus you get a drink ticket, so it's definitely a reason to come out, and you're going to see a great, great, great show and get to vote for your favorite. So hopefully we'll see you at Gay Idol on Saturday. That's where I'll be, and I hope you're there too. Everybody have a great week, and continue to be out and proud. It's the month to do that. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Yeah.